Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Thanks to Roundup. And on tonight's show, what's happening, guys?
Ooh, what have we got? We've got, we're talking to Nat Oliver, who's a volunteer with TIA Australia. We're going to hear all about that shortly. And when we rip our clothes off and jump into the spa, we're going to be talking about fats and oils, because there are good fats out there that we should be eating. So I'm just going to explain the difference, because there is a lot of confusion surrounding that particular subject.
Yes. And if you want to SMS us, 0427 join 949, or you can ring Robert on the desk at 1300 join 949, or email us on air at joy.org.au. We would like to hear from you, especially if you tell Bertie not to rip her clothes off.
I just said, this is an in-studio joke, but the studios here are incredibly hot. And this is 9 o'clock on a Monday night in spring, so it's not even so. And so I said, I'm coming in naked next week because it's so hot.
And I think on that note, we'll go to our first track, which... it's called Beautiful Thing by Heather Williams.
That's moi.
Welcome back to the Spirit Lounge. You're on Joy 94.9 with the Priest, the Pom, and the Poof. Now, at the top of the show, we mentioned that we were going to be speaking with Nat. She's a volunteer with TIA Australia, and Nat's just returned from a weekend at the Black Stump Festival, where TIA Australia was running the One World Cafe. Welcome to the show, Nat.
G'day, how you going?
Quite good, quite good. Can you tell us a little bit about TIA Australia? What do they do?
TIA is a Christian aid and development agency that partners with agencies around the world, working with the poorest of the world's poor. TIA also works here in Australia, trying to raise awareness of global poverty and injustice, and to encourage us to live more ethical lives, particularly working with Australian Christians to see that working for justice is an integral part of our faith. I really like the phrase that we often use. We try to encourage each other to live more simply so that others can simply live.
That's nice.
Do you run projects for the Indigenous communities here in Australia?
Yeah, this is some work that we've just been working on the last couple of years. We partner with a few projects in Aboriginal communities in Australia. The TIA program partnering with those projects is called Dumba. That's a Woi Wurrung word, which means talk, tell or speak. We also work with non-Indigenous Australians, trying to raise awareness of the issues faced by our Indigenous brothers and sisters, and trying to advocate with them to create a fairer Australia.
Fascinating. Nat, hi, it's the Bertie the Pom here.
Hi.
Good to have you on the show. Nat, I was looking at your website earlier, and one of the taglines says, you respond to the needs of the poorest communities in the world. Today, where are the poorest countries in the world? And I assume that you're doing some projects in those countries, yeah?
Yeah, so TIA Australia works mostly in Africa and Asia. I can't remember how many countries that we're working with at the moment. It does sort of shift from time to time. Mm-hmm. Some of the poorest countries in the world include Bangladesh and Nepal, and TIA partners with some... or agencies in both Bangladesh and Nepal, working with some of the most poor and most remote communities.
Must be really hard to choose, you know, who to actually support. I mean, do you actually just have to choose by the absolute poorest and the most desperate?
Well, TIA does have some information on its website, I think, about how they choose, but they... often TIA seeks to partner with the smaller agencies, the ones who don't get the attention of the really large agencies like the Red Cross, mm-hmm. World Vision, all of those fantastic projects can reach amazing amounts of people. But TIER often works with some of the really smaller agencies, trying to hit the missed communities.
Yeah, the ones that get overlooked. That's great.
Can I just ask, when you say you talk a lot about working with other agencies, exactly how does that happen?
Well, what I love most about TIER is TIER doesn't run its own projects. We partner with a whole range of local organisations and support their work through partnership. So I love it. Rather than TIER going in and telling communities this is what you need and having TIER projects all around the world and having a TIER project here and a TIER project there staffed by TIER people, TIER works with local people to find local solutions to local problems. Like, this is because local people are the best position to achieve lasting success. So TIER forms partnerships with agencies around the world that may well be because they approach TIER. There's a bit of a process as to how that happens. Yes. It's rather than TIER sort of implementing its own projects, it seeks to partner with local projects.
So you've got a wide range of projects that you help with. Are most of these projects kind of like preventative projects, or is it kind of like identifying a problem and trying to find a cure for it?
It's, I guess this is one of the things that people sort of worry about. It's like, are we creating dependencies? Is it getting into prevention versus cure? I think it's about sort of doing community development is the biggest thing that TIER does. So a core value is empowerment. So we want to empower people to make change in their own communities. So a lot of the work that people would be familiar with is, for example, building wells. Mm. And a lot of that is can be both seen as preventative and cure. I guess talking again about empowerment is when people are involved, for example, in building a well, bringing in materials to build the well, doing the labour for it, TIER might provide some funding, but they also make sure that the community is fully involved in that. Mm. When the community is fully involved, then they're going to have ownership over that well and look after it. A mate of mine visited a project in Kenya where they'd been working with a community not only to construct a safe water source, but to establish good hygiene practice. Some of that was really simple things like installing toilets, teaching people about washing hands, creating dish racks to dry dishes off the ground. Yeah. And these are all really simple things, but the effects were amazing. The community were telling him that a couple of years ago, they were always sick. So what little money they had often had to be spent on medicines. So often they lost days working because of illness that affected their food supply. Children often missed school because they were sick. Now that some really basic hygiene had gone in, now the water source was protected, now they weren't getting sick all the time, the whole community had improved. The whole energy of the place had shifted. It's the word energy I just used. They actually played a soccer game while my friend was there, and he got to join in, and they said, look, we never had the energy to play before.
Mm.
Such a fantastic organisation. Stick on the line. We're going to go to a bit of a track, and we'll catch up a bit more after this.
It took his breath away, holding the bank page. He got the letter. And you're on the Spirit Lounge with the Priest, the Pom, and the Poof. And that was a track called Down by Matt Kearney. And we're talking with Nat, who's a volunteer with TIER Australia, and she's just come back from the Black Stump Festival, wherever the Black Stump might be. But we'll talk to her a little more about TIER before we
inquire about the black stump.
Yeah, we want to hear about the black stump. But, Nat, I was looking at your website and it says TIA's mission statement's quite nice. It says, TIA Australia is a Christian development relief and advocacy organisation responding to global poverty and injustice. Now, we've been talking about poverty around the world and, you know, unless you're completely cut off from any form of media, everyone's very aware there's far too much poverty in the world. But can you give us an example of a social injustice situation that TIA might need to tackle at any given time?
Well, a big one is climate change. Now, a lot of people don't actually think about climate change as a social justice issue. It's certainly an issue that the whole globe is facing, and it's one that's certainly big in the media at the moment. There's many debates and theories around it, but the most concerning thing about climate change is a disproportional impact it will have on people in developing nations. Those least responsible for causing climate change are the ones that are going to suffer most from its effects. And like the massive risk with climate change is it might undo all the work has already been done to try and meet the Millennium Development Goals, trying to halve world poverty. There's been amazing progress through a range of actions to try and meet the MDGs, but all of that is at risk due to the impacts of climate change.
That's amazing. And is that a global initiative to try and halve the global poverty by 2015?
Yeah, so there was an agreement with the UN in the year 2000 to try and halve world poverty by 2015. And there were 8 Millennium Development Goals that were agreed to at that summit. And we're on track with a number of the MDGs. There's great progress to achieving some of the goals around water. But we're running quite a bit behind on some of the other goals, such as child maternal health.
Fascinating.
Now, you've just come back from participating in Black Stump Festival, which is an annual festival focused on Christian youth with music, arts, word and action. Tell us about TIA's involvement with the festival.
Yeah, well, TIA's been involved with Black Stump for quite some time, and we are involved in running one of the venues called the One World Cafe. This is a venue where artists perform. We sell great dal and rice, fair trade hot chocolate, chai, all very good warmers on a wet and woolly weekend, which it was. We had a lot of rain and a lot of mud. So at that venue, as well as having artists perform, TIA has also run a whole range of forums and workshops talking about issues like climate change, refugees and Indigenous issues.
So where was the Black Stump, Nat?
The festival is held at one of the big scout parks near Wollongong. It's called Cataract Scout Park. And there's a whole range of people that come from New South Wales, Victoria and Queensland all congregate in one area and rain most years.
So apart from the rain, what was the highlight of the Black Stump Festival this year for you?
I heard from some great emerging artists, and that's always so great for me to hear new music and new sound. But also I heard from a guy called Dirk, who's one of TIA's partners who works in Afghanistan. So to hear directly about the work that one of TIA's partners is doing in Afghanistan was a real highlight for me. Another highlight was the Baptist donuts. They're always...
Oh, festival food is always the best.
Absolutely. The Baptist can make good donuts.
Well, thanks so much, Nat, for joining us on the show and telling us all about TIA and their projects which they help with around the world.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
Great to talk to you. Thanks, Nat. And that was, we were just talking to Nat from TIA Australia about the wonderful role they play in the world to try and conquer global poverty. Now, normally, I would let the Priestie interview this next track, because it is the one and only Katie Lang. Now, you're not allowed to say a word. And I've got a new album, which is called Watershed. And now, what can I say about it? Melodic. And this track is called I Dream of Spring, and it's probably one of the best tracks on the album. One of the tracks that's not going to make you jump off the Westgate Bridge. Let's have a listen.
You're on Joy 94.9 in the Spirit Lounge with the Priest, the Pom and the Poof. Tonight we've got every month we feature a new artist, don't we? And last month we had Aretha Franklin.
We did, the Queen of Soul.
And Andrew complained because he didn't get an artist, so we gave him one.
Yeah.
They gave me a choice, yes. I do occasionally get one or two choices.
So who have you chosen then, Andrew?
I chose Jesse McCartney.
He's a very good looking man, might I say.
Did you choose him? Did you choose him just for the looks?
He sings beautifully.
We'll find out about that.
We will. He sings beautifully. And I thought that I would just get, because it is the first Monday of the month, I would print out a few little fast facts about Jesse McCartney. He, it's very funny, his favourite song on his debut album was Beautiful Soul, and here's a little link to Australia. His first overseas trip was to Australia, so that's kind
he
of
He looks a bit
fun.
Like Justin Bieber.
Yeah, he's a Justin Bieber imitation. Wow. Fake.
Oh, surely not, surely
in
not.
In that shot he's got dark hair, and this one he's got blonde hair.
He sings lovely music.
Come on, then.
We're going to hear two tracks from him. So we're going to hear Get Your Shine On and Why Is Love So Hard to Find.
Let's hear before we knock him anymore.
Joy.
Joy.
94.9.
And that was our artist of the month, Jess McCartney. Now, a little known fact that Andrew hasn't mentioned about our artist is that he played the youngest chipmunk called Theodore in Alvin and the Chipmunks. He was the voiceover.
Now, Andrew's just going to, you're just going to get a hard time, aren't you?
I can't do anything right.
And Jesse, Jesse, while that track was playing, we were looking at Jesse McCartney on the website, and he did look like Justin Bieber, but he does look a bit better in that latest photo. But I think that was a bit, I started off saying that was a bit George Michael, but actually that was a bit Wham, I think.
Mm.
I think that's a bit Wham.
I quite like his style. I think, it changes a little bit. Like, that was his early stuff, and it changes a little bit as we move on.
His early stuff when he was 10?
I'm not sure how old he was when he did that.
Well, he was a chipmunk.
They had such annoying voices, those chipmunks. I could never see the movie.
Do you think his voice broke? That's why he couldn't be a chipmunk anymore.
Probably.
Don't be mean to our artist of the month.
Come on, then. We're going to hear another track now from the chipmunk. Oh, sorry, yeah. What's his name?
No.
Jesse McCartney. I know. We're going to talk about... Oh, no, we've got a
talk
bit of
about
a
chipmunks.
We could talk about chipmunks all night, couldn't we? We're going to do a little newsy item now. Should we do a newsy item?
Oh, I think we should do a newsy item about this crazy woman who God's been talking to.
Oh, we'll talk about her first, the bonkers woman in New York.
Yeah. Where do you think... Yes, Rose Marie Belforti, the town clerk of Ledyard, that says a lot, doesn't it, says God does not want her to condone same-sex relationships.
This is the town clerk in New York who may go to court over her refusal to sign marriage licences for gay couples.
But she won't sign them for straight couples either.
No, and she's delegated it to one of her minions to do because she's clearly lost the plot.
Yeah. I mean, if she doesn't sign them for straight couples, isn't she saying that they can live in sin? Would God approve of that?
Well, what it says, the New York state law says a public servant is guilty of official misconduct when, with intent to obtain a benefit or deprive another person of a benefit, or knowingly refrain from performing a duty which is imposed upon them by the law. So, I mean, she's actually breaking her kind of employment contract, isn't she?
Yes, but she's got a very strange Christian-based group backing her.
Clearly. And there were a couple of lesbians who approached her unbeknownst to them. They clearly hadn't done the research on her, had they? And they went to ask her if she would marry them, and she said no. So now they've gone to a Washington-based liberal advocacy group, People for the American Way, which is pressuring the clerk to serve gay people or resign.
Yeah, and look, she compares gay marriage to incest. I don't get this gay marriage as incest. I'm worried there's another agenda involved here other than just allowing same-sex couples to be married. We know what a bride is, we know what a groom is, but if we choose to be a spouse, does that even limit marriage to a human being?
Oh, dear. Oh, we should send her a tweet or something.
It could be
saying,
a chipmunk marrying Jess.
Please, will you marry my chipmunks? Anyway, we thought Rosemary Belforti was a bit of fun. And if you're listening, darling, good evening or good morning in New York.
The thing that I love about this story is it's actually like her thing. That's what she does. And all of a sudden she's like, no, I'm not going to do that anymore. Someone else has to do my job for me.
I think she needs to get a new job.
Yeah, I think she does too. Yeah. Career change.
Definitely. I think she'd go back to being filing clerk.
I know. Anyway, that was our little bit of newsy fun from New York. And now we're back to Artist of the Month, called Jesse McCartney, who we haven't been very kind to so far. He was a chipmunk in his previous life, but he can now sing, and we're going to hear another track from him called Why Is Love So Hard to Find?
And this is dedicated to Andrew. And you're on Spirit Lounge with the Priest, the Pom and the Poof, and that's Joy, Bertie and Andrew. And we've been a bit mean, haven't we, about Jess?
We've been picking on Andrew.
You've been picking on Jesse and me.
Well, now we find out he's been on Hannah Montana. I mean, he's really going down.
His resume is not looking that hot right now, is it?
No. Has he found love after singing that song, do you reckon?
I don't know. I'd have to do some more research, I think.
Is he gay or straight? Do we know this?
I don't know. Andrew, does it make a difference?
Well, I just want to know these things.
Well, he's quite cute. He looks gay. He's very cute. He's a pretty boy.
Because we could have put him, if he was gay, we could put him in touch with you, Andrew.
I'm sure he's got a very fabulous stylist.
Anyway, we've got a bit more news, haven't we?
We do. We have a little bit more news, and it's
serious
from
this time.
From the States again, but it actually is good news. Because a military chaplain or military chaplains are now allowed to participate in or officiate any private ceremony, whether on or off a military installation, provided that the ceremony is not prohibited by applicable state or local law. A chaplain is not required to participate in or officiate a private ceremony if doing so would be in variance with the tenets of his or her religion. But basically, this comes 10 days after the formal repeal of the ban on openly gay troops. So that's really good news, isn't it?
Yeah, so they can have same-sex ceremonies.
Yeah. So it's like 1 minute, they've taken this quantum leap. 1 minute, they're saying, don't ask, don't tell. And the next minute, they're like, it's all good, let's get married.
They have, what? Yeah. I know it was on, then it backtracked, then it was off and on. And it has yo-yoed. But I think that's great. I mean, for military chaplains to be able, and that can be either and on a military base or, you know, elsewhere, which I think is really great news.
It certainly is.
Yeah. So well done, the US. Please stick to it and don't change your mind again.
they do have a bit of a habit of doing that.
Well, at least they try. I mean, in Australia, we're not even getting to first base with all this.
I know, but look at when they changed their minds in California. Imagine if you lived in California and you were kind of planning your big day and all of a sudden the law changed. Crikey, I mean.
Yeah, I know.
It would be pretty horrible. Do you reckon you'd still go through with it if you were in that situation?
Well, I think you would, wouldn't you? Because you'd have everything booked and probably paid for. And
you've got all the plans and we'll just sign a blank piece of paper.
Oh, yeah. I felt for people there. I think that's why people in New York are like rushing, they're queuing to tie the knot in case New York changed their mind as well, you know? I mean, I hopefully they
won't. But if they change their mind, does that marriage still stand? Is that still legal, or do they all become null and void?
Well, I don't know the answer to that categorically, but I would imagine and hope that if they have been legally unionised at the time, that would still stand. It wouldn't be annulled, would it?
Oh, who knows?
They've just got to make a decision and stick with it, for goodness sake, please, for more than 3 seconds.
Exactly.
Anyway, have we got another tune?
We do. This
and
one.
It's not Jesse.
No, it's not Jesse. this is one from a group called After the Chase, and it's called Run.
I want to run deep into your presence. until there's nothing left of me, till my desires are melted down, and you are all I want to be.
And you're on the Spirit Lounge 94.9, or Joy 94.9, with the Priest, the Pom, and the Puff. And now it's time to strip off and jump into the spa, which I was talking about doing earlier because it's so hot in the studio. And I thought I would talk about fats and oils, because there is a lot of confusion about fats and oils, and I've tried to iron it out a little bit for us all. Now, fats are also known as lipids, and they are essential for health. And there are good fats and there are bad fats. And we've all heard saturated fats, monounsaturated fats, polyunsaturated fats. And you know what? What the hell's the difference?
I don't know. Right. What is the difference?
Well, I'm going to try and help. Now, saturated fats are the bad guys. They're generally animal fats, and they're bad because they can increase blood cholesterol levels. Now, they are commonly found in all the naughty foods, deep-fried foods, fast foods, baked products like biscuits, cakes, pastries, all those things we love, full-fat dairy products, processed foods. Now, if you have to deep-fry, the trick is try and use rice bran oil, which has the highest conversion temperature, i.e. it will oxidize less readily at high temperatures. Now, I'm going to come on and talk about that a little bit more, because in past programs we've talked about all the different olive oils, haven't we?
Yes, we have.
And you remember we said, really, as a rule of thumb, you don't cook with them, because when they oxidize, that's when they are not good for you. And really, olive oil should be used just fresh. So if we look at monounsaturated fats and polyunsaturated fats, I'll try and explain the difference, and certainly when it comes to cooking. So monounsaturated fats are found in mainly olive, peanut, grape seed, avocado and canola oils. These are more stable at high temperatures than polyunsaturated, and therefore safer to use in cooking, but they're less stable at high temperatures than saturated fats. So if you do it just lightly frying, maybe stir frying stuff on quite a low heat and stuff like that, then they're okay to use. Monounsaturated fats, I've been practicing this all day and I still can't say it. Monounsaturated fats tend to lower blood cholesterol, and so they're the good guys. And in addition to the above oils, they're found in margarine spreads, avocados and nuts, peanuts, hazelnuts, cashews and almonds. And remember, with olive oil, use it fresh, and for low temperature cooking, always buy extra virgin, cold pressed and organic olive oil. That's absolutely the best. Whack it into your salad. It's fabulous. Now, the other one, we've talked about saturated fats. We've talked about monounsaturated fats. So saturated fats are the bad guys. Monounsaturated fats are the good guys. Polyunsaturated fats. Now, these are found in vegetables or seed oils. So we're talking about safflower, sunflower, flaxseed, corn, hemp oil and soya. Less stable at high temperatures, so don't cook with these. Now, the reason we shouldn't cook with these is these are the guys, polyunsaturated fats are the guys that contain omega-6 and omega-3. And those are known as fatty acids, but then that doesn't sound as bad as it sounds. Polyunsaturated fats are better for us, as they tend to lower blood cholesterol and should be consumed fresh in salads, full of omega-3 and 6, and can be found in fish and seafood and nuts such as walnuts, Brazils and in seeds. So polyunsaturated fats, or essential fatty acids as they're known, can be divided into two categories. So omega-3 you find in plants, so canola and soya oils and margarines, and omega-3 in fish, oily fish, salmon, mackerel, tuna, sardines. So omega-3 is very good for you, and omega-6 is found predominantly in nuts and seeds, so plant oils such as corn, soya and safflower oils as well. So it's a little bit of a crossover, but pretty much omega-3 is fish, and omega-6 is basically plants, so nuts and seeds. That's kind of how you split it. The intake of fats will vary with climate conditions and the type of occupation and the way that you live. People who live in very cold climates may need a larger intake of all of these fats, as fats are required for body heat production. But in warmer countries like Australia, the fat intake should be between 20 and 30% maximum. And guess what the current intake is of fats in Australia?
Is it 20%?
Nope.
No, higher or
lower. Higher or lower.
Higher. Be higher.
60%.
You've guessed 60. Joy?
No, I've read it, so I can't guess. That would be cheating.
It is 50%, and that is largely due to people eating too much takeaway food. and processed meals. So yeah, so you know, it's all down to obesity, and we're all getting fat and wobbly. But so that's the difference between saturated, monounsaturated, and polyunsaturated fats. Very different. And saturated fats, please avoid. Monounsaturated and polyunsaturated, you can have a balance of those in your diet. And the polyunsaturated are the ones with omega-3 and omega-6 in them, and they're very good for you.
So no McDonald's on the way home for you.
Get away from that crap. That's so bad for you. I don't know how they survive, but they do.
How McDonald's survives? Selling a lot of burgers, I think.
So bad for you. Anyway, we shouldn't go on like that, really.
Now, earlier in the show, we spoke with Nat. She is a volunteer with TIA Australia. And if you're interested in knowing more about TIA and what they do, visit tia.org.au and you'll be able to find out all about the projects that they are involved in and the countries where they're working. And you'll probably be able to see a few shots from Black Stump Festival as well. If you've enjoyed the show tonight, look out for our podcast. It's going to be on our website. It's spiritlounge949.weebly.com. Or you can visit through the Joy website, joy.org.au.
We have an SMS that came through from Scott. Hey guys, first time listener, love the show. I love your work because I think it's really important for the LGBT community and spirituality to mesh together. And then he loves Jesse Mack. And always have. Good on you, Scott.
Thanks so much for your feedback. We'll be back next week, same time, same place. But that's all for now.
Bye. Goodbye.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.